Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We're glad you've chosen Trinity to be a part of the worship this morning. May we all stand and bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in worship and in praise, and we ask for the Spirit to guide us this morning. Allow us to have an open mind and an open heart. Allow us to worship you with an earnest heart and an earnestness that can come from you and only you. We ask that the Spirit guides us in today's worship and allow us to seek you with fervor. We thank you for the many blessings you have given us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. May we now join together in singing Your Grace Is Enough. What grace is grace's unmerited favor. It is what God, the Bible promised, so graciously gives to all who seek Him. May we now join together in singing the song, Holy Spirit. The Christian life is called to be a life full of giving, sacrifice, and works. We are called to ultimately fully surrender to the will of God and to get over our own wishes, to get over our own will, and to seek God's face and continually worship Him. And to do these things, such as prayer and giving to the poor, feeding the hungry, that not only make a positive attribute into the world, a positive change, but also allow us to fully experience the depth of God's love and God's mercy on us as well as others. May we now join together in singing, I Surrender. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we just ask for the Spirit's guidance in allowing us to surrender. As the lyrics of the song stated, have your way with us. Have our way within us. Allow us to be guided by you. Allow us to not be guided by our own desires, but by your will. We know that the Christian life is an active life. It's a life that affords us the opportunity to surrender to you in all facets of our life, and we just ask for the Spirit's guidance in applying that to our lives and to our spiritual life. We thank you for the many blessings you have given each and every one of us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
You may be seated. Before we continue this time of worship, I want to highlight a couple brief announcements on the back of your bulletin. You will notice with me next Sunday, January the 28th, we will be having a potluck immediately following the service to celebrate the payment in full of the mortgage. And we're going to address some different things that entails. And so we do want to celebrate what God is doing in our midst. Amen? I mean, God is moving. He is doing things. And sometimes we need to look again. We need to look again at what He is doing in our midst. And so next Sunday, mark that on your calendars, and if you're able, you can talk with Anita and Julie Seif. I know that they've been working, at least I hope you've been working in conjunction with Julie, to get the potluck prepared. And so we invite you to please bring a dish to share and come enjoy the good food and fellowship and give praise to the Almighty God, the one who inhabits eternity, for His goodness endures forever. And we will celebrate how He is moving here at Trinity. Also, on the back of your announcements, you'll notice on the back of your bulletin many announcements, both for Trinity here and for Faith. And so I just want to highlight the next VBS decorations that is going to happen on Sunday, the February the 11th, immediately after worship. If you are able to stick around after worship and help make decorations for the Vacation Bible School Outreach Ministry, we invite you to do so as well. And for all of you parents that have kids ages 6 through 12 grades, February the 18th, this will be at Faith from 4 to 5:30 p.m. We will be having youth group down there. And so if you have kids in grades 6 through 12 or know of someone who has children in those grades, we invite you to be a part of that ministry there. And lastly, we are in need of people here at Trinity who have a heart for kids. We don't just want a warm body. We want somebody who has a heart for youth to minister unto them, to speak into their soul, and to teach them the tenets of our faith. And so if you are here and if the Spirit of God is stirring and moving, we invite you to see Valerie Miller. We invite you to see, I don't see Amy Fruth, or you can talk with me after the service. And basically, we would love to get you plugged in with some of the ministries that are already currently taking place or some of the ministries that we hope to begin here at Trinity. At this time, we're going to dismiss those in kids for Children's Church in kindergarten through fourth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. And let us all turn our attention to the reading of God's Word.
Our reading today is out of the Gospel of Luke. It can be found on page 1617, Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." This is our reading from the Word of God. May the ushers please come forward for the giving of our tithes and offering.
Our kind, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. Part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
May we be seated. Before I begin this morning, I have one quick announcement to mention. February 7th, we will begin starting Peacemaker class, and that is a book by Ken Sandy. And it is it's a class where if you're kind of don't know how to deal with conflict in your life, it teaches you all about how to approach certain issues amongst relationships you have. And sign-up sheets out in the fellowship hall, and they will be women's and men's studies on Wednesday nights from 6 to 8, I believe. Is that correct, Val? 6 to 8? 6:30 to 8. All right. Well, the sign-up sheets are with Val right now, but I believe they'll be posted in the fellowship hall. Just come take a look at that. 5 years ago, I was a freshman at Bowling Green State University. I was living my life for me and how I wanted to live it. I thought I had my future perfectly planned out, and I knew exactly how it would go. But I can tell you truthfully that I was wrong. See, back then, I never would have guessed I would ever be giving sermons in a church. I was going to school for a Bachelor's of Science in Conservation Ecology. and I spent most of my days living however I wanted to. I still went to an occasional church service, but that was mostly out of obligation because I had other friends who wanted to go there too. And I never really had any true intention to apply the truths that I learned there to my life. And without getting into too much detail, I didn't have, you know, a perfect, you know, good person life. I just lived for me. And I remember specifically when that all changed, when my life made immediate turn in direction. See, I was walking across campus with my roommate. I was heading to another friend's apartment when I said to him, "Ryan, I think I might go into ministry." Now, that's not like normal train of thought. And I didn't really say much after that, and we didn't discuss it further. And I didn't realize until later on why I actually turned to this path. At this time in my life, I was only focused on myself, which society will tell us that there isn't anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong for looking out for number one. However, that never leads to real happiness. See, looking out for number one, that's just a survivor mentality, which means it's a base animal instinct. And we are not meant to be animals. We are meant to have empathy. We are meant to care for the others around us. So I made the decision to change my focus, which led me to Jesus, which led me to true happiness. And now I'm not working for myself and only myself. I put all my efforts, or most of my efforts, in order to grow the kingdom. In this passage from this morning, a man from the crowd calls after Jesus, saying, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." See, this man assumes Jesus to be a rabbi, to be an authority figure of the law, thus one who would make a proper judgment on his situation. From the Old Testament, we learn that inheritance is usually divided amongst the sons, with the oldest brother getting a double portion. So let's say you had two brothers. The older one would get 2/3 and the younger one being getting 1/3 of the portion. Now, we don't know who this brother was, if he was the older or the younger, but it's safe to assume he didn't like what his allotment was. But Jesus looks at this man, or goes to this answer, and he doesn't really answer this man's question. And this isn't because he doesn't desire to create peace and solve an ethical dilemma between the two, but rather, Jesus wants to focus on the true problem, recognize the issue that's between this man and his brother. And that issue is where this man's focus is. See, this man is focusing too much on the accumulation of wealth and feels wronged by his brother. Therefore, he seeks out justice. And instead, this man needs to focus on the clearly wounded relationship between him and his brother. In verse 15, Jesus says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." See, these words are exactly opposite of what we might expect to find in our society. It's in our everyday lives, where many companies are creating advertisements, for million-dollar advertisements, just to tell us that if we buy more and more of their products, we'll have more happiness. We'll be more comfortable. If we buy more and more of their products, we'll be able to compare ourselves around all of us, or compare the others around us, because we have to have what they have. However, we will see it time and time again that this greed is insatiable. It will never get us anywhere but in more want. So we need to learn to tune out these things, to turn our focus in God, to God, to the good life, which is living in a relationship with God and serving him and fulfilling his work. Now, this answer probably wasn't the one the man in the crowd wanted. But it was the one he needed, and the one we still need today. We can still see these similar issues like this all throughout our world, where people are putting their focus on the wrong things. The question I come to now is, why don't we spend more effort and more energy on being rich in God instead of being rich in the world, instead of preparing a mortal situation, but hiding behind all of these securities we have because of we are in fear of what the future holds for us? What we call the Christian walk, or the decision to follow Jesus, it's the most important decision we will make. This is a quote from C.S. Lewis. So, why don't we treat the Christian walk as it is? As it is the most important decision. I was saying earlier how people put their focus on the improper things. For example, think of the man who goes to the bar after work every day, getting drunk to lessen his anxiety and relax his nerves. This ultimately only leads to more pain and more problem in the future, with the possibility of severe and uncontrolled behavior. Or the individual who feels the pain of sadness constantly, and instead of turning their focus on God, finds pleasure in food and uses the abuse of eating too much to forget about their feelings. This again only leads to more problems down the road, specifically problems with health and possible emotional problems. Or the individuals who feel lonely, so they've turned to pornography to cope with the emptiness in their life, which in turn makes that emptiness and that loneliness even more greater and more damaging. And it makes the ability to socialize and to find motivation reduced. This list goes on. This list of where we put our focus in. All the wrong things that we can have our life going towards. So to answer the question, why don't we treat the Christian walk like we should? It's because we are denying who God is. We are turning to the pleasures of the flesh as a way to seek happiness, which can lead to a worse life and a worse situation than what we had before. If we truly believed, we wouldn't be falling into the pleasures, these idols, so easily. See, these pleasures, these are a false god. And when we turn to them, we're saying these are more important than following God. And this outward and inward focus, it's really a faith issue when you look at it. If we were comfortable and strong in our faith, if we were focusing on what God's plan for us, focusing on those around us and the care for them, we wouldn't be looking so inward in our lives, saying, what will I do now? How do I prepare for the future? What if this happens to me? Or what if that happens to me? All these things we worry about, all these unknowns, all these questions, they're caused from doubt and from fear. Later on in this passage, in Luke 12, verse 22 and 23, Jesus tells us, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Jesus commands us not to worry. Only faith can free us from the anxiety caused by greed and coveting. But don't hear me wrong, because planning and working responsibly are good, but focusing on all the ways our planning could go wrong, focusing on the unknowns in our lives, that's bad. Now, let's take a minute to analyze our churches, the faith and Trinity. I know that there are many concerns about the future with our churches, about the knowns and about the uncertainties. And I know that there's a rich history in the building at Faith. They had to build up from the ground, depending on those in the community to donate in order to rebuild their church. So I understand that there is a sense of pride in developing that church, a church that had to fight to survive. But what's the focus there? What's that focus in having worry and having that pride? That focus is inward. If it's having too much concern on the literal property of faith, and it's focusing too much on the individual and not the community. See, church is not a building. It's a group of people with a common goal, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. At Trinity, I know we have a very similar situation. See, here there's deep individual history. Members who have been at Trinity for 80 years. People who have deep history. Were baptized, were married. All these things that they owe to this community. Then we have VBS. A very successful VBS at that. And we worry, what's going to happen to that? How can we give that up? But again, what's the focus there? The one hand, the focus is on the unknown and the fear and dwelling on it and not seeing the possibilities for growth in God's kingdom. And the other, it's the individual being scared of what they might lose and having to change something. But again, I say to you, church is not a building. So how do we find this peace that we're always looking for? In Matthew 16, 24 and 26, Jesus tells us exactly what to do. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" See, we need to deny ourselves. We need to deny our pleasures, deny our worry, and deny our focus in the wrong things. By doing this, by denying this focus, we begin to diagnose where our focus is. So how do we do that? Well, it looks like, where do you see that you spend most of your energy? Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? When you start to analyze this, you'll begin to see where your focus truly is. And if it's not pointed upward and outward, you need to turn. You need to change what you're doing in your life. So, how do we change? What does that look like? Well, for one, you need to begin praying. Praying daily. Diving into your scripture. That's where you'll find the strength. That's where you'll be able to find the strength to change all these relationships. Mend them. A lot of times we feel that we have issues with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't know how to restore them. We can't do it on our own. We have to depend on God. And so that's where we begin. We begin by changing our focus. Like the man in the passage, his focus was on the money. His focus was on how he was wrong. That's an inward personal focus instead of focusing on how his brother might felt, on how their relationship is. So when we begin to do this, when we begin to diagnose where our focus is, and then we turn it around or turn it to God and turn it towards others. When we do this, we will begin to have peace in our lives. And with this peace in our lives, we will be able to serve God as he intended, developing his kingdom, growing his kingdom, and preaching the gospel and loving those around us, restoring our relationships. When we have this, we know we can begin to find happiness. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you to say thank you. Thank you for all that you have given us in our lives. We ask for your peace. We ask that we are opened up, that we are able to see where we are screwing up. where our focus is. We ask that we see where our focus is in our life, and that if it's in the wrong, that we are able to change it, that we are able to mold our lives according to your word, that we're able to grow in your light and grow in your truth, and that through this we are able to grow those around us, growing your kingdom, loving everyone, and being able to just show what it means to be a Christian and exemplifying the walk that we are, that we will do. And all this we do pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we close this time of praise and worship, I don't know if you're like me or not, but sometimes I need to adjust my focus many times each day. And sometimes it's many times a minute. So may we all sense the leading of God's Spirit. And if you need someone to pray with you today, if your focus is just out of line, we have individuals that would love to pray with you today. And so won't you stand as we sing our closing song, Oceans. As we close here this morning, may God's Spirit truly lead you, and may you follow, and may your focus reflect his heart and will for this world, to glorify him, to expand his kingdom. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may the peace of the risen Christ flood your very being, and may it be your front guard and your rear guard as you go. May you go in peace. Amen.